And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your hosts, David Von Strong and Leslie M. Scott Jones. And now, here's David and Leslie.
Hello, Charlottesville! It is Sunday! It is June the 18th. I sound like I'm in a cave. This is weird. River!
This is what happens when you wear cans.
Happy Father's Day to all of Charlottesville. This is Homegrown, your local show about art on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I am David Von Strawn, a.k.a. the Devious One, and with me as always is a lovely, loquacious, lascivious Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Ooh, I like that one. I like that introduction. Like that. Yeah, slowness. with the slowness slow and the voice. That was cool. Nice. Yeah. All right, I'm taking that this Sunday morning. Thank you. Thank you much.
How are you?
Hold on.
We're pausing.
Let's
sound check.
Hey, Angel, can you hear us?
Angel?
Hello. Hey, sorry about that.
Oh, I hear. Very barely.
Give me half a second.
How are you?
Alrighty.
Are you there?
There she is.
All right, just testing the phones here. So, Angel, hold on for just a minute while our two hosts do their intro stuff, then we'll get right to you.
Okay,
but, Angel, we're happy
I'm having a little bit of a problem hearing you, but I'll do my best.
Hearing us?
Yeah, it's a little bit distorted.
Okay,
well, we'll do what we can.
All right.
We'll work
with the tech, but we got some stuff to talk about.
So it's Father's Day, and I posted a lovely picture of
you
my dad, like looking all like mafia,
looking all proud and tall,
in his bow tie,
in the Sunday best, suited and booted.
He probably
had some gaiters on.
Yes. Because, you know, he's Dapper Dan, man. He is the original OG. He don't step out of the house unless everything's pressed and matching.
Has to be.
Yeah, seriously. Shoes match the belt, match the watch band.
Mm.
Like, that's how serious it is with Pops.
That's how we get down. All right. I see that. Very nice.
Yeah, so I just called him a few minutes ago, and he's so cute. I was like, all right, well, enjoy your day. I was like, I love you. He's like, love you back.
He's like, just leave me alone. Just
it's Father's Day. I won't do nothing.
And let me do me. That's cool, though. No, I'm hanging out with my father today, too.
Oh, yeah?
On time. Deck staining day.
Oh, that's a good, like, father thing.
Closer?
That's...
You want me to actually get closer to the mic? Okay.
I know. He's kind of loud.
All right. That's kind of crazy.
Blow it
All
out.
Right. You asked for it. But let's get to the nitty gritty, shall we? Let's get to the news of the week. Let's break it down, Seville. We got rats and roaches running around the downtown mall, calling themselves the Proud Boys, inciting violence.
Yeah, I saw them on the downtown mall last night.
Yeah. People canvassed. Every establishment was very vigilant and not appeasing to their
presence.
Dog whistling nature of that. But with all of the alt-right visitation rights that have been bestowed upon them by our lovely city of Charlottesville, July 1st, and then July 8th is the big Klan rally, and then August 1st is another one with people. July 1st is the flaggers, but we've just become this hot spot for
it's like us in Portland.
Yeah, for some reason, the two places that have, overgone the most violence.
Well, and I think it's worth mentioning that two cities who have a strong arts community, too. I mean, Portland is a huge arts community, music, live theater and like painting and sculpture. It's a huge artist community there, and I think it's interesting that those are the two cities they choose.
And I'm glad that you brought that kind of symbiosis up, because this is something I gotta say to the people that write our laws, specifically Mayor Mike Signer, who calls this place a city of resistance, but doesn't want to resist domestic terrorism.
Yeah.
To some degree. Just wants to kind of let it happen and see where the cards fall.
Mm-hmm.
And what's it going to take, Mike Signer? Are we going to have another Portland?
Are we going to have people slitting people's throats?
What's it going to take? So I invite Mike Signer to come on to Homegrown and talk about this matter, because I think it's something that we really need to get out in the open. And people are probably on the show saying, hey, David, why are you calling out? Why are you getting political with this? It's kind of like that line in Mr. Holland's Opus. If you take away all of the things that make life as great as it is, all of its diversity and its freedom and its individuality to be different and beautiful and colorful, and if you at the very least tolerate that opposition of diversity and you let that in your community and you instill fear by proxy.
Right.
And then people have nothing to write about and nothing to be artistic about and then are afraid to be artistic and creative and different and colorful and beautiful. So what are you going to do, Mike Signer, to protect this community, to protect its art, to protect its diversity, to protect its beauty? What are you going to do? And that's really all I got to say.
All right.
And I'm sure Angel has something to say about it. Because she's seen the stuff firsthand. So I'm just going to cut to you, Angel, really quick. Before we go into Goth Night, before we go into Blade Runner Night at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall on June 20th, I just want to talk to you first and foremost. Angel, how are you this morning?
Sure. I'm doing well. I'm with family.
Good.
You know, the past night has been a little bit crazy and chaotic. You know, I've been getting a lot of, you know, of course on social media, I've been getting a lot of trolling and some threats, some insults towards my husband and my son. And, you know, they've just kind of come out of the woodwork. Jason Kessler himself, he was there yesterday. He's also posted, you know, about the rally on July 8th on my page. And it's been a little bit crazy, but hanging in there for sure.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, we want you to be safe. We want you and your husband and your son to remain safe. So,
and
wishes for that, first of all.
Yeah, I want to thank you and your personal resilience against fascism and outright douchery in our great, great town. But I don't want to harp on the thing that we've all been harping on in our community for about the past month and a half. We'll keep harping on it until something gets done about it. At least I know I will. But let's go into Goth Night, shall we?
Yes, let's talk
get artistic.
Goth.
Let's talk a little bit about that. What is Goth Night for the layman who tunes into Homegrown and is like, what is this Goth Night you speak of?
Yeah, absolutely. So we started Goth Night December of 2016, last year. We've been going for about 6 months. It's my husband and I, and originally we started it as like a one-off or a two-off. You know, we.
Your husband have a name? I'm sure he's.
Yeah, you know, for right now, I think.
Okay, I get that. I get that.
Because the. So essentially what happened, you know, yesterday is our business, you know, refused to serve the people that were on the mall yesterday.
Yep.
We had to call the police, and it was a big ordeal, and because of that, I'm catching a lot of threats and things like that.
I understand. I apologize for that. It was a bad joke, and I understand that you're dealing with a hard time right now, so I just want to say.
So, I mean, I'm just holding back for those reasons.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, I get that. I was like, derp, I get that now. But yeah, Goth Night.
Yeah, started it. We Well, honestly, we decided to do it in November. We saw the way that things were changing and the way that our society was going. You know, realized that there was a deep need for a place for people to go, that everyone was welcome, that was safe, that provided music where people could dance and have a good time. And so in December, we launched Goth Night. And basically, it's celebrating, you know, almost 5 decades now of gothic, industrial, alternative, electro-pop music. And we have a weekly event that we do, live bands, DJs. It's a pay what you can at the door. We suggest $10, but mm-hmm. you know, welcome everyone. So if you don't have $10, that shouldn't hold you back from coming. So we do that. We branch out. We don't just play goth music. We play a variety of,
I was actually going to say that because, so break that down. Talk about the variety of music at Goth Night, because people think they're going to walk in and just hear Bela Lugosi's Dead for like four right. hours. And that's not the case. So talk about that, because I've been to a Goth Night before. It's super dope. There's like EDM and ministry-esque, super
well,
dark
and I think
industrial.
A lot of people may not know what a goth is. Like, they don't, they see, you know, a kid dressed in black with black fingernail polish mm-hmm. and ear piercings, and they think, oh, that's a goth. Like, so what is a goth? Like, what's the definition as far as you're concerned?
Sure. So the gothic scene is very diverse. There's a lot of music and subgenres that are included into it, as well as fashion. It's kind of hard to identify. I read a really good quote a few months ago, though, and it said, goth, the ability to see beauty where others cannot. And I really resonated with that because that's kind dope. Of the whole gothic music, you know, it's the whole gothic scene. You know, gothic music started in the mid to late 70s, and it ran parallels, you know, with the punk scene and all of that cesspool of amazing music that was coming out during that time.
Right.
And it wasn't uncommon to see, you know, a goth band and a punk band on the same bill and then see those people from the shows at a protest the next day. You know, it was very much that. The gothic scene, it inclined more towards exploring other emotions, and you know, it definitely had a different vibe to it, more melancholy, and you know, there was a poetic sense to it and all of that. So it is kind of hard to identify goth, which is why we kind of we host Goth Night, to kind of show people the different music, fashion, and culture that's associated with it. You know, as far mm-hmm. as goes, we play, if it's dark, we play it.
I like rock, that
Bauhaus, you know, all of mm-hmm. that, choosing the Banshees, but we also play industrial, we play alternative, electropop, synthwave, cold cave, like era cold wave, you know, the dark indie, you know, one of my favorite things to spin on the dance floor is like Crystal Castles, Tying Tiffany, mm-hmm. so we're really diverse in the culture of music that we spin. It's just, you know, it has a dark inclination because, generally speaking, that's, you know, that's what becomes popular in the goth scene, is it having a dark twist to it. I mean, there is once I even spun De Antwoord on the floor, you know, because that's a band that I love. And, yeah, it's an inclusive night, and we have guest DJs that come, and they may gear more towards like EDM or Witch House, or you know, just whatever their, you know, own inclination is. So
yeah, so we have a clip of a sample of the kind of music that happens at Goth Night.
Well, no, it's the band they're gonna have.
One of the bands that you're gonna have.
Playing when we talk.
So we're going to, after we take our break, we're going to come back with that.
Clinton, you could have just said all of that.
It's okay. Relay. We play Relay. It's all right.
Do you want to, we got 2 minutes. We're going to do a drop in about 2 minutes, but can you touch on that juxtaposition, that beautiful darkness that sometimes people, I think, misunderstand about the average quote-unquote goth person. Can you speak about that and how that feels in the heart?
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, we have this big misconception due to, you know, the media's representation of what goth is, and, you know, just this general fear of someone in black that maybe explores the darker side of, you know, life. And it's something where we're very sanitized in our society about, you know, exploring that, exploring, you know, just talking about death openly. So it's not a scary thing that's just like you avoid at all costs or, you know, pain or suffering. We're so focused on ignoring those things, blocking them off, and just going, 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 working, 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 harder, harder, harder until we exhaust ourselves. And, you know, a big thing in the goth scene is just sitting, celebrating, embracing these darker areas, exploring, healing, processing them in a healthy way, and letting go, because we all go through that. Yeah. You know, everyone goes through these painful times, these sad times, these, you know, losses and grievances and all of these things, and, you know, talking about them and processing them in a healthy way is, you know, for me personally, far more effective than just suppressing them and not talking about them and just pushing them in a little box until they explode.
Well, and I think that also speaks to where we are in our society with mental illness and people having real problems dealing with everyday life. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't process those things. We have this thing in society where we're always supposed to be happy. Mm-hmm. Like, that's always the goal. And guess what? Not everybody's happy all the time. Like, and when we're not happy, we need to think about it and figure out why. And
if you were happy all the time, how would you know when you're happy?
Right.
Or not.
Right.
We're going to do a drop. We're going to play some music that's coming up next on Goth Night. We're going to talk about Blade Runner Night with True Body. And we'll be back with Angel Metro. This is Homegrown. Drop! 19 minutes past the hour, if you're just tuning in. This is Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. We're talking with Angel Metro about Goth Night. And the next upcoming night is Blade Runner Night.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I love this movie.
Huh.
I really do. I can't wait for the sequel. Can't wait. I'm so psyched.
I don't know. I'm a little bit hesitant about Gosling, but I know he can do his thing. I'm just hoping that he does his thing and just doesn't do the drive stare down.
Casting is a whole nother issue.
It's a whole nother thing. But let's talk about the original Blade Runner and why you chose to do a Blade Runner night, Angel.
Yeah, so part of what we do at Goth Night, you know, as I was saying earlier, is we like to expose people, you know, whether they're the young kids just getting into the scene or, you know, just someone coming in that's curious, we like to expose them to all different influences for the goth scene and the alternative scene. And it's kind of awesome because we get to share some of our favorite movies and media, you know, with the people that come through the door. You know, Blade Runner is one of, both my husband and I, you know, it's one of our favorite movies of all time. It's one of the, it's like debatably the greatest sci-fi movie ever made.
Yes.
It's incredible. The final cut is. The final cut is
some,
one of the pieces of it.
Some would argue it's one of the best American movies ever made.
And so, yeah, we like doing theme nights. You know, we've done, like we had this night where we had a bunch of DJs come in that were basically just starting out, and it was called Night of the Living DJs, and so, you know, that was a take on Night of the Living Dead.
That's awesome.
We've had a Scream Queen Spring Fling, which was like a prom theme, or a horror theme prom type thing. We've had Vampire Night recently.
Didn't you have a night with an artist that based a lot of his music on the movie Dune?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Didn't you have a Dune night where you had a guy that played a lot of music that was based on the movie Dune?
Yeah, Stephen Archer's project, Stoneburner, Stephen Archer from Ego Likeness, he actually made this entire band called Stoneburner that's based off of the music he interpreted would have been played from the Dune book.
Oh my God, I wish I had known about that because that's another movie that I absolutely adore.
That's insane.
Yeah, it was a really fun night. He's an incredible artist. We'll definitely have him back sometime. But yeah, so, you know, of course, you know, when we were thinking about new movies to do, Blade Runner was just like a given. I mean, the fashion and the whole movie influenced the goth scene so much. And if you watch the movie carefully, you'll notice as he's running across the city, the scene with the monks, I believe they might have been Hare Krishnas, to the left, there are two goths just, like, casually walking around. you know, Pris, the character Pris from the movie, very heavily influenced the goth scene. I mean, the black type hand on the eyes, the, you know, the fishnet-looking material, the crazy teased hair. So, yeah, we just wanted to celebrate the night. We knew a lot of people. We went to see Blade Runner at the Paramount when they showed it, and there was a bunch of people there, and we're like, you know, I think people would be interested in it. And so we just went for it, and people seem really excited. We're going to be having a professional photographer there in a photo booth with some props, like movie-themed props. We'll also be screening Blade Runner, the final cut, there, and we have some theme music to go along with it. It's going to be a killer time. Plus, we have this band True Body from Norfolk. They do a very cool Joy Division era post-punk, and I'm just for them to be here. So.
And it's good that you mentioned that, because that's like a perfect segue.
I know, right?
For what we're about to do. We got some True Body synced up right now. We're going to play their song called Violent Soul. So, Angel, hold tight. We're going to play some music. Is that cool with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. This is True Body, Violent Soul.
I just went back to high school, 1987, listening to The Cure on a boombox on top of the water tower. Like, that's awesome. That was great.
So, yeah, and I would have never listened to this band had it not been for Goth Night or, like, you know, that kind of introduction. So thank you, Angel.
Absolutely. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. And we have some really cool shows coming up in addition to Blade Runner. We have July 3rd, we have Mr. Kitty, The Rain Within, and my band, Guild the Morn, will be doing at the Southern. Mr. Kitty does some incredible, like, 80s-inspired synthwave and synth-pop, and Rain Within is Andy Dean from Bella Morte's solo project.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, and we also, you know, recently Adam West passed away, and a few people had contacted me and said, hey, what do you think about, like, doing a Batman night? And I was really into the idea.
That'd be really cool.
July 25th, we're doing Goth Night Presents Gotham Night with, in memory of Adam West, so come dressed in your Batman gear. We're doing that at the Pit at Cinema Taco. It's in the basement of the Jefferson Theater. And it's going to be a fun night. We're having prizes and absurdity, straight up Adam West style.
Oh, that's going to be so cool. Okay, we have to go to that. We have to go to that.
I mean, well, you have to. All right. So if you have to attend one goth night at some point,
this summer. If not all the goth nights, you have to attend goth nights, because we say it like black folks, goth, G-O-F-F.
Right.
Nights. But you have to go to one goth, because it is dope, and the beer is cheap, and the people are super cool. Shout out to Brendan, who's always running the goth night. So talk about that. You got what? All right. So we're wrapping it up. I see the fingers.
There's a signal.
Yes. Blade Runner Nights with True Body, which is now my new favorite local band. Southern Cafe and Music Hall, June 20th, Angel Metro. Thank you so much for A, fighting the good fight, and B, doing your goth night. So much love to your husband and your family. And prejudice worth both ways. A goth person is not a white nationalist.
Thank you.
So just putting that out there. Never judge a book by its cover.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here. All right.
All right.
All right.
Wow. So now we get like the... What? We're doing a list of stuff, right?
We're doing a list of stuff.
There's stuff.
What is happening this week?
Yes.
Here are some of just the events. This is what happens when I don't have caffeine. I'm very subdued.
Oh, okay. Calm.
Currently running through June 30th. Dallas photographer Janine Mishnevale's exhibits her new collection, Through Darkness to Light. Photographs along the Underground Railroad at the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center. In June 20th, the Frailer Art Museum offers Babes, an art land for adult caregivers of infants 18 months and younger. Bring your baby to join fellow parents for lively conversations about works of art. June 22nd, JMU's Dr. Jamie Kurtz signs her book, The Happy Traveler, at Peace Frogs Travel Outfitters. They got a Peace Frog store?
Yeah.
We're so there.
Okay.
June 23rd through July 1st, the UVA Heritage Festival begins with Middletown. Also June 23rd, Bent Theater Comedy Improv at the Bridge Progressive Arts Initiative. June 24th, see how gentle yoga, meditative drumming, and simple circle dances can stimulate your creativity in embodying the muse at the Charlottesville Writer House. June 24th and 25th, Love Fest, Music and Arts Festival at the Ixart Park. And for your music options this week.
Yes. Today at noon, Jazz Jam Brunch with Bob and Tom at Fellini's. June 20th, Blues Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School, hosted by Bill Adams. Charlottesville Municipal Band continues their 95th summer season at the Paramount Theater. Travis Elliott at Fellini's. Open Mic Night at Holly's Deli and Pub. June 22nd, Bobby McKnight Band at Stinson Vineyards. Victory Hall Opera presents Drug Song, music by Richard Wagner, and script and direction by Jen Hoyt Tidwell at UVA's Brooks Hall. Aaron and Wildfire and Stoop Kids. Stoop Kids, huh? At the Ante Rooms. At the Ante Room. June 23rd, Sarah White, new record show at the Southern Cafe Music Hall. Irish Matthew Sing Along and the Skip Haga. And then Skip Haga at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Pickin' and Grinnin', open music jam at James Rue Brewing Company. Shannon Branch at Wild Wing Cafe. The Lisa at Glasshouse Winery. June 24th, Cool Blue Quintet at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Doss Homage at Dirty Nelly's. The Ragnarockers at Heritage on Main. Ragnarockers, I like that. Wow. LG and the Buzzing Bees at the Whiskey Jar. Every Monday, Seafoot. Charlottesville's Friends of Old Time Music weekly open jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Every Tuesday, traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, open mic night at Pro Raid Not a Farm Brewery. Every Wednesday, Jazz Collective Number 9 at Fellini's Number 9. Every Wednesday, the Mike Rosinski and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. And every Thursday, John Garth Quintet at Miller's. All right. And that's what's going on in town this week. Woo! That's a lot of stuff, man.
Yeah. Some stuff usually happens every week in there.
Every week, man.
But this week, it's going down.
It's going down, especially with the music.
So, yep, we're gonna...
And so, stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your guest, Rick Moore. Their guest is Lisa Province, the news editor at Seville Weekly. Wow, they're talking about local elections and Lee Park. Ooh, that's a conversation. That's a conversation.
Indeed, it is.
Yes, stay tuned for that.
Yeah, I might want to stay tuned for that myself.
Right? All right.
But let's go to our next guest, shall we?
Mr. Clinton? Let's do that.
All right, and for our next guest, We have someone coming to us from New City Arts Initiative, one of our favorite places. And introduce yourself. How are you doing, Ellie? Oh, I just broke it there.
My name's Ellie Roller, and I'm the Programs Coordinator at New City Arts Initiative.
Programs Coordinator. Awesome. So what does the Programs Coordinator do?
New City Arts is a two-person staff, so a little bit of everything. But I lead some of our major programs like Charlottesville Soup, the WVTF Gallery, and Housing to Home.
Now, New City Arts, I mean, it's interesting because I first got to know it as a gallery, or at least I was thinking of it as a gallery. But I noticed that you have these programs, and you don't call yourself the New City Arts Gallery. You've called yourself the New City Arts Initiative, and you've got two galleries that you work from. So can you talk about that, the distinction between the initiative part and the galleries being part of what you do? What is it?
Sure.
What is it that New City Arts is as a whole?
Yeah, so we like to think of Welcome Gallery, which is the gallery attached to our office space, as being just one of our programs. So our overall mission is to support Charlottesville artists, and we do that in lots of different ways, one of which is by hosting monthly exhibits with rotating local artists at our gallery spaces.
Cool. And so talk about the soup program.
Mm-hmm. Charlottesville Soup is a great event. We have it twice a year at different locations, but it's a crowdfunding dinner where you pay $10 and you get soup and salad and bread, and you get to listen to four local artists pitch project ideas that they need funding for. And at the end of the night, you have the opportunity to vote on the project you want to fund. So at the end of a soup event, a local artist will walk away from anywhere from $1,500 to $3,000 to fund a project that will benefit the Charlottesville community.
That's great. And so in benefit in what ways? I mean, how is that construed?
So New City Arts just thinks that having like a vibrant art scene is benefiting the city. And
I'd like to agree.
But for individual artists, we ask that even if it's a project that might be done more in private, like if it's a class they want to take or show they need framing for, we hope that they'll at least come back and like showcase their work in the community in some way.
Cool. So, talk about the Housing to Home program.
Housing to Home
we've actually had somebody on the show talk about it before. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to see the program is still going on. For those of our listeners who may not have listened the first time, I can't imagine that there's anyone who was listening to us a year and a half ago who isn't listening now. Shock. But just in case there may be new listeners, why don't you introduce them to the Housing to Home program?
Housing to Home is a program that New City Arts runs with The Haven, which is a homeless shelter in downtown Charlottesville, where when folks access The Haven's Housing First initiative programs, which provide subsidies for people experiencing homelessness to move into housing, the Housing to Home program will then meet with those individuals and help them get things to fill their spaces and make their new homes feel more personal. So that could be anything from a toaster to a bed to a dresser to curtains, or we also encourage people to consider buying artwork for their spaces as well.
Right, and that's a really interesting idea. So how do people react when you suggest to them, maybe you should think about buying artwork for your spaces?
Yeah, people react in completely different ways. And
because I'll be honest, I like to think that I'm art friendly. Mm-hmm. I like to think that I am, if not art savvy, I'm at least art aware. And yet, I don't think of myself as go out, buy art. Because, you know, I don't have thousands and thousands of dollars sitting around to go and say, I think I'll take that picture. You
know? Yeah, I completely...
I'm lucky if I can afford to frame posters.
Understand. Me too. Yeah, so people respond totally differently. Sometimes people are really, really excited and already have an idea of what they want. Sometimes people don't want artwork, which is totally fine. Our number one goal for the program is to respect client choice. And so if that's not something people are interested in, then we're not going to push it. Sometimes people will take a while to come to the realization that art is something that they'd like to include in their home through this stipend. But it totally depends on the person and the situation. And we try to present it in a way that makes it feel like an opportunity to do something that's personal. We don't want people to just feel like they have to go out and go to a gallery, which is sometimes an uncomfortable experience, and like right. pick something out. You know, we want it to have a story or some sort of meaning for them. So sometimes if someone's interested in art, that can be a pretty like drawn out process in figuring out what would be a good fit for them.
So let's go into that process. How do you connect the people with the art? Does the art already exist? Do you have mm-hmm. a set of artists? So what, yeah. How does the art get provided from the artist?
Sure. Yeah. That's one of the benefits of this partnership program is that the Haven has, a lot of resources that we don't have, but we do have connections to local artists. So if someone experiences interest in artwork, we will meet with them and show them examples of some local artwork that we have purchased and have in the Haven, which is a comfortable place for people. It's more comfortable than a gallery.
And what genre are we talking about? Are we thinking, I don't know if genre is the right word. what medium are we talking? Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Are we talking about paintings? Are we talking about sculpture?
Yeah, we've got all sorts of stuff. So this is a program, not a program. It's a program within Housing to Home, but we recognize that going to galleries and looking at art can be intimidating. And so we went ahead and used some of the grant funds that fund the program to purchase examples of local artwork to keep at the Haven. So that mm-hmm. we have all sorts of things. We've got like beautiful handmade lamps. We have quilts, we have pillows, and we do have paintings and photography and some pottery too that clients can take a look at and either select from the gallery space that we've created within the Haven, or they can use that as sort of a jumping off point to commission a piece that's maybe a little bit more personal.
So is part of the experience for them also sometimes widening their idea of what art in your in their home could be?
Yeah, I think so. You know, as someone who's experienced homelessness, you're not probably in the mindset of someone who is going to go out and purchase mm-hmm. like a nice piece of artwork, regardless of how much it costs. And so even just to, I think, feel, you know, hopefully like encouraged enough to make a decision about something creative is a way of rehumanizing someone who's experienced the trauma of being homeless.
That's an interesting way of talking about it. Rehumanizing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because the trauma of homelessness can be the trauma of homelessness and the trauma of poverty that can be dehumanizing.
Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about the program coming out of the idea of experiencing homelessness as being a choiceless way of life, because as someone using the resources that's available to them while experiencing homelessness, it's a very like structured schedule. You have to wait in line at certain times. You have to eat what people provide for you. You have to sleep with people that you aren't comfortable with in spaces that are unfamiliar. And so by adding this element of choice to the housing process, we're hoping that people will feel engaged and that it will ultimately increase stability in these new housing situations.
Huh, that's, yeah, I hadn't thought about that. How much home ownership, how much home ownership provides you a level of self-determination
mm-hmm.
And self-control.
Yeah, completely.
And actually, even as I run through it in my head, how increasing levels of home ownership, like just going up from like, you know, renting a room from somebody to renting an apartment to owning a house, to renting your house from the bank to owning your own house mm-hmm. gives you increasing levels of self-determination.
More choice.
And self-control and more choice, yeah.
And these clients are often moving into spaces that are not, I mean, they're not the nicest spots. It's, you know, concrete floors and, you know, a lot of basement apartments. So the more we can do, I think, to make them feel more ownership over these spaces,
mm-hmm.
The better.
And it's interesting that art can play that role. Not just the act of acquiring. That's interesting because it's when I was first introduced to the program, I was thinking about the effect of having art. But most of what you're talking about is the beneficial effect of being able to select it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because otherwise, you know, if someone else decorates, well, you know, sometimes that's something people like, is for someone to come in and decorate their home. But, you know, if you're moving into a new space and haven't had any say in that, it's kind of just like a hotel.
So you've got some pieces there at the Haven as an example of the type of stuff that people could select.
Mm-hmm.
After that, is it effectively a commissioned situation where they say, I like something like this, and you find an artist to make it? Or are there artists that you have agreements with where people go and can look at some of their pieces, mm-hmm. and say, oh, well, I would like something like this. Okay, well, we know an artist who does something like that. Let's go see their stuff.
Yeah, it's mostly us reaching out to the artists, and hopefully the client and the artist can have a conversation about what they want the piece to look like, but we'll often be sort of the middleman in that exchange. Yeah.
And I interrupted you before when I asked this question, so I'll ask it again. What are people's reactions?
When offered the opportunity for art?
Yeah.
Yeah. Super varied. We have a client that we actually just featured in a film that we made about the program. The film was made by Pando Creative Co. But he's got a great story, because I met with him for the first time, and he immediately knew that he wanted a painting of the beach at sunrise, and didn't provide any backstory. He just said he wanted it to be 2 feet by 3 feet. And so I reached out to an artist who I know does lots of landscapes, and made that request, and you know, didn't provide her with very much information at all. And then she went with us to deliver the piece, and they found out that she'd actually painted the beach that he had had in mind. So he had experienced homelessness in Virginia Beach, and would wake up every morning and see the sunrise. And she dropped it off and told him that she'd painted from a photo that she'd taken at Virginia Beach. So that's one of my favorite stories.
That's a nice story.
Yeah. But some people don't want art.
Right.
And we're not going to force them to have art.
Why not? Why not? Force art. Force them, like, force them to your way. That's the new American way, don't you?
Yeah, just take this picture.
Take it now. You look like a pop art person. Here, take the soup. You'll take Warhol and you'll love Warhol. So what's been the response from artists?
To the program?
Yeah.
It's been great. I mean, we aren't asking artists to give the art for free. Mm-hmm. We pay them. So right. That's another way that it fits in with our mission to support local artists, is that we're sort of expanding the network of folks who will support local artists through this grant. But it's been great. We've had a couple artists who've been really involved, mostly, I think, because they've worked with clients in the past, and we can use those stories as examples for new clients, if that makes sense. But yeah, it's been great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, time has been flying. Long time ago. That if you're just tuning in, you should look at your clock or your watch or anywhere near you. It's that many minutes past the hour, and you're listening to 94.7 WPVC. This is Homegrown, your show about local art, and we're sitting here talking with Ellie Roller from the New City Arts Initiative. So you say it's this, and we're talking about the Housing to Home program, which is currently on display now in Welcome mm-hmm. Gallery. So how does that work?
Yeah, so we have a month-long exhibit about the program featuring photographs of client spaces taken by Andrea Hubble, and a film about the program by Pando Creative Co. And it is up until, I think, June 30th, the end of June. And it's open from noon to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday.
And tell people where Welcome Gallery is.
Welcome Gallery is at 114 3rd Street, which is right next to Fleury Restaurant on the downtown mall. It shares a side street with the Paramount.
Right, and it's almost right on the corner, mm-hmm. right, of,
yeah, it's
of 3rd Street and Market
Street. Across from the library.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So you mentioned that the program is due to a grant. Mm-hmm. May I ask where the grant comes from? Please don't tell me it's the NEA.
No, it's from a creative placemaking organization called Art Place America.
Yeah, so tell about Art Place in America.
Art Place America is great. It's a foundation that's made up of lots of other foundations that support specifically creative placemaking initiatives of all kinds, with the goal of creating this new I guess, field in the art world where you enliven public spaces through art. So creative placemaking could be a mural. It could be reimagining a whole city street. It could be all sorts of things, but with the goal of having arts and creative people involved in the processes.
Cool. So speaking of Housing to Home, speaking of the Housing to Home exhibit that's going on right now in the Welcome Gallery, what is the New City Barks?
Oh, my goodness. New City Barks is maybe the best event we'll ever host. It's a day where you can bring your dog to the gallery. And that's all it is. We'll have some Sammy Snack dog treats for your dogs. And, yeah, it's just a day where the Welcome Gallery is extra welcome.
Now, is Welcome Gallery dog-friendly in general?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, it's always, you know, I think it's at the owner's discretion whether or not they trust their dog to come into a gallery. Probably not during larger events, just because we want everyone to feel comfortable. But yeah, if you're on the mall and you've got a good dog with you, I don't see any problem with that.
How did you come up with that?
Gosh, I don't even remember. Our favorite thing is to pun our name, for sure. We've done all sorts of New City Arts puns. New City Hearts, New City Tarts. And this is, I have a dog that I love dearly and have always wanted to bring to the gallery. So I think that's probably where the idea came from. But we just thought it was a funny, like, summer event to host. And
I'm a dog lover. I think that's great. So you're walking your dog, you know, why not walk the dog, you know, through the gallery?
Yeah, dogs like art too.
Exactly.
Maybe. Someone asked us if we were going to lower all of the artwork by like 3 or 4 feet so that it was dog level. We're not going to do that.
Okay, that makes sense. You're not going to have specifically dog framed artwork.
No.
Dog pitched.
I wish.
Cool. So when is that happening?
That is happening next Thursday, which I believe is the 22nd, and you can come any time between 9 and 4 p.m.
Dun, dun, dun. So if you're walking your dog, and goodness knows, a lot of dog walkers in the downtown area.
So many dogs.
If you're walking your dog, when you walk your dog in the downtown area on Thursday, it could be an autistic experience. You don't know. It's possible it could happen.
Come get a treat.
Come get a treat. Excellent. Excellent. Ellie, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
For coming on Homegrown and talking about New City Arts and New City Barks.
Am I on? Yes, I'm on. That was Ellie Roller. Oh, great stuff. So we want to thank our guest.
Was this weekly rant?
First. Yes.
Did you forget about me? You forgot about me, David.
No, I didn't forget about you.
God.
Kind of.
I'm sitting right across from you and you forgot about me. What the hell, man?
Coming up next.
Thank you.
Is Leslie M. Scott Jones's Weekly Rant.
If you haven't seen Wonder Woman yet, close your ears for the next couple of minutes because spoilers are coming your way. Let me start by saying that comparatively, this is the best DC movie so far. The scenes on Themyscira were beautifully shot and orchestrated. The battle scenes with all the Amazons were great. Costumes were on point throughout the whole movie. But I do have a few things to say. One, why is the only featured black Amazon we see presented as less than human monolith who takes a spear across the back and reacts as if she just got stung by a bee? Let me be clear. I love the version of black woman being a badass, but do we really need to play into the social narrative of black people being less than human more in our society? I mean, could we also see her doing something else to give her character some dimension? Two. After the fight scenes on the island, did we really need every kick or arrow move to be in slow motion? We get it. She's agile. This is a great cinematic thing used to showcase a superhero's prowess. But once you demonstrate it, you can move along. I don't need everything to be in slow motion. 3. I get that Diana meeting a man for the first time is a big deal. I get there would be some fascination, but this is an Amazon who was taught her entire life that men are insignificant, that they are only good for procreation. I was more than a little pissed off that they made the love story such a big plot point in the evolution of Diana. She's known the man for a week. Come on, people. So when Aries has her pinned and she sees the plane with Steve on it blow up, that's what gives her the gumption to fight? No, not believable. 4. She didn't kill the bad guy. What superhero do you know that ends the movie without stopping the bad guy? She leaves the crazy doctor who created the lethal gas alive and lets her get away. Seriously? 5. Ares in the original mythos is Diana's uncle, being made of clay and brought to life by Zeus, who is Ares' brother. Why does she call him brother at the end of the movie? Are they changing the mythos? And if you're doing that, you need to explain it more. 6. DC Comics' major problem has been poor planning when it comes to movies. They create a series without any thought about how it's going to progress and how the story is going to flow over several films. Wonder Woman is no different. She got her own origin story, but the main part of her life was skipped. The long, drawn-out love affair with Steve was literally blown up, leaving only the storyline with Batman, which in the comics was weak and uninteresting. So where do we go with her story from here? Does she now disappear into the team of Justice League, never to regain her own storyline? Well, that's disappointing. I could go on, but you get the drift. It was good, but not as good as it should have been. And I don't agree with the critics that say, oh, well, it's okay if it's not great. I mean, it's a female superhero movie, and there have been crazy male superhero movies that have been bad, and they don't stop making those. Well, yeah, but it's Hollywood. This is the first female superhero movie. And yes, it does matter if it's good. It has to be great. It has to be freaking amazing, because the way Hollywood works is that if it's not great, if people don't flock to see it, if it doesn't make millions of dollars, then they won't make another one. And, you know, I want a female superhero series. I want other female superhero movies made that have a storyline and an arc and are interesting. So, like I said, it was good, wasn't great. DC Comics did better than they normally did, and let's hope that they keep moving in the right direction. And that's the weekly rant.
4 minutes. Yeah, 4 minutes till the top of the hour. I was not thrilled with the whole Wonder Woman thing. I was so disappointed. Like, they made her a regular 20th century woman who can't do anything without the approval of a man. Like, it. Oh, God, it just... I walked out of that movie so mad. So mad!
You know, I think I'm just done with superhero movies. Like, altogether.
Really?
Yeah.
Just altogether.
Done.
Just done.
Done. Done with the hype. Wait for it on DVD, Netflix, whatever. Through with it. Just kind of tired of it.
Well, I mean, you're not excited for Black Panther?
I'm excited.
yeah. Come on now, David. Come
All right.
on
you
now.
You got me back on the boat. But
Thank
I'm,
you.
I'm excited for Baby Driver. I'm excited for Dunkirk. I'm excited for a lot of films.
See, I'm worried about Dunkirk because it's an awesome story, but he's not great at doing movies. Like, it's I'm worried that everything
Did
that's great about
Did you say Christopher Nolan's
movie,
not great at doing movies?
Yeah, I mean, he goes for it and he never quite gets there, you know? Like I say all the time, it's kind of like Luther Vandross's Jerry Curl. It don't quite curl all the way over, you know what I mean?
But it does the trick and it gets and you get what he's trying to do.
You get what he's trying to do,
and
but you kind of want to see
it,
you know?
That is what Christopher Nolan does. You get the vision and you understand what he's trying to imply.
I'm just worried that everything that's good is already in the trailer. Like,
yeah. It could be one of those.
And we're going to be upset when we get to the actual movie.
Yeah.
He has to fill, you know, an hour and so more.
Yeah. But I know I'm getting old when I'm just like, when summer movie blockbuster season comes and I'm just like, meh.
You're meh?
Meh.
Aww.
I'm so meh. I think our community has a few more things on the top of its list to worry about.
Yeah, I get
than the movie lineup.
but maybe I'm just being a bit overdramatic. I don't know. No.
You being overdramatic?
No. I don't think so.
No, that's not you. No. You would never. You're not an actor or anything, are you?
No. Some would argue. We'd like to thank our guests, Angel Metro and Ellie Roller. Coming up next is the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Rick Moore. His guest is Lisa Province, news editor at the Seville Weekly, talking about local elections and everybody's favorite hangout spot this summer, Lee Park. So, hey, should be a fun show.
Favorite hangout spot? Really?
Yeah.
He went there, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, he went there. Grab a blanket. Bring kids. Summer of hate, y'all. Alive and well.
Right? Oh my God.
All right. This is Homegrown 94.7 WPVC. Thank you very much. Peace.
See you next week.
WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.